As a pastor, over the years, everybody seems to have their expectations of a preacher, a pastor. Some of them, there's just a great number on the list. Some of them are very extreme. I know that there are some expectations that need to be met, but we just can't fulfill all the expectations that others place upon us. You can't, as a Christian, you can't fulfill all the expectations that others have for you. It just can't be done. We cannot fulfill those in the area of what we are or be or do, everything that they would like for us to be or do. But turn with me, you will, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. This is a great but. We cannot be and do everything that others would like for us to be and do, but we can be and do everything God expects us to be and do, because His expectations are compatible with His enablements. What He expects, He is able and willing to enable us or empower us to do. So there's no such a thing as saying, well, God expects me to be this and do this, but I can't. That's true, we can't in our own sufficiency, in our own strength. But I'll guarantee you anything that God expects you to be or do, you can. Because His expectations are compatible with His enablements. What He expects from us, He empowers us to do. Now, what you expect from someone else or someone else expects from you may or may not be possible. But God never has an improper expectation of His children. And we find here the Apostle Paul writing in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got to thinking about that verse. It applies to our being. What God expects us to be. Holy in character. Righteous in our walk. Christ-like. All that pertains to what He expects us to be. Not only that, but it implies and it affects all that He expects us to do. Everything that God expects me to do in the way of duty, in obedience to His will for my life, I can do. And it applies to all that I'm called upon to endure. That may be the primary meaning for the word do. I can endure in the way of suffering all that God permits for me to suffer. So there are several approaches that can be taken to the verse and several applications that come from the verse. It's not only applied in what we do, but what we are. And how we walk and how we stand up under the pressures of life and so forth. So Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, we're not being or doing or enduring by our own sufficiency and own strength. It's by the strength of Christ. So, that brings me back to my primary statement. We can be and do everything that God expects us to do, to be and do, because His expectations are compatible with His enablements. What He expects, He's willing and able to supply the empowerment to do that. Paul said, I can be and do everything God wants me to be and do. And everything that God permits to come into my life. How does this work? Well, first of all, if I'm going to be and do and endure everything that God expects out of me as His child, the very first thing that's necessary is I'm going to need to learn what He expects of me. Now, God in His Word, and I'll take a little effort and some study, some preaching, some teaching, so forth, to understand what it is that God expects out of His children. We read there in 1 John 2:6, that if we claim to be His child and abide in Him, then we must walk as He walked. Now, how did He walk? We had to go back into the Gospels and begin to read about the life of Christ and study His characteristics, His mannerisms, and all that is revealed for us in the Word of God. And then we have to continue on in the whole Word of God, understanding what it is that God requires of us. We need to know what it is. It's hard to fulfill the expectation of someone who isn't willing to tell you what they want or expect out of you. But God has done that. The Word of God is very clear and capable of telling us what it is that God expects out of us, and that He enables and empowers us to bring that to pass. So, thinking about this, how does it work? How does it happen? How can I be and do everything that God expects of me? And that ought to be our objective. That ought to be our aim. Is pleasing God, not pleasing others. Please God, and I think we'll please those that God wants to be pleased by our lives. But there are some people you will never please. There are some expectations that are placed upon you that you will never fulfill. Incapable of fulfilling all that is placed upon you. But never does God have an expectation of His child that He is not capable of fulfilling, because God will enable that child to bring that and bring that to pass. And that's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, with that thinking in mind, let's think of three little simple thoughts concerning how in the world can I be everything that God expects me to be. Three things, and I think they're very simple, very elementary. Number one, through surrender to His will. The only way I'll ever be and do what God expects of me is to surrender my will to His will. That's the greatest obstacle you wrestle with in the Christian life. I know a lot of times we exercise our own will in a certain matter and we want to blame the devil. Well, it was the devil. The devil tempted me. The devil did this. The devil did that. When in reality, we did it to ourselves. I wanted it. My will was so strong that I got it. Whether it agreed with God's will for my life or not is not the issue. My will was exercised, and I got what I wanted. The first step in becoming and doing what God expects of us as His child is surrendering our will to His will. Now, Jesus said over and over again, well, first of all, in Luke 9:23, you remember He said, deny Himself, talking about a disciple who would come after Him. The first thing He had to deny Himself. That's place His will under my will. That's what Jesus did and gave us the example of doing and being in His life. In John 4:35, Jesus said it was His meat to do the will of Him that sent Him. In John 6:38, He continues on, that he came down to earth not to do my will, or not to do my own will, but the will of him again, who sent him. In Matthew 26:39, he's praying. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There's one outstanding characteristic in the life of Christ as we study the life of Christ that just leaps out, and that is, he did not exercise his own will in conflict with the Father's will. He didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of the Father who had sent him. Now when it comes to my life and your life as a child of God, we need to strive to get closer to this point where we get rid of our own will, not that we abandon our will because there are areas of where we need to exercise our will, but that we find out what God's will is and surrender our will to His will, whether we're in agreement with it or not in agreement with it. It's His will that reigns supreme. And if we're ever going to be and do what God expects us to be and do, we're going to have to learn how to surrender our will to His will. In Ephesians 5:18, it talks about the fact that we must be filled with the Spirit. The only way that I'm ever going to be able to surrender my will to the will of the Father, to the will of God, is through the strength of the Holy Spirit. Just like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can say I can do all things through the Holy Spirit who strengthens me. Because God has placed the Holy Spirit within me as His child at the point of conversion to enable me to do those things that He wills for me to do and to become pleasing to Him. Not in my own strength, not in my own wisdom, but in His. And so whatever He expects and whatever He requires, I'm capable of seeing fulfilled in my life because it's God doing it and not me myself. The first thing, we have to surrender our will to His will. The second thing is just as simple, but yet very difficult, and that is through obedience to His word. If I'm going to be and do everything that God expects of me, then I'm going to have to be obedient to His word. I've got to, first of all, surrender my will to His will. Whatever that may be. Whatever that may entail. Secondly, I've got to become obedient to His word. I think here that we're seeing in our day, in this day, in our generation, in our land, we've got so many things. We travel to and fro. We've got so many gadgets. We've got so many pressures of life and so forth that it has had a drastic effect upon our appetite for the Word of God. We don't have the appetite for the Word of God that God expects us to have. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We must have an appetite for the Word of God. This place should be filled tonight. There are enough professing believers in our congregation that if their appetite for the Word of God was what it ought to be, they would take advantage of every opportunity to be under the Word of God, the preaching of it, the hearing of it, the reading of it, the singing of the hymns and so forth. But it's not sus. They're here, there, and everywhere. Why? Because they have an appetite stronger in these other areas than they have an appetite for the Word of God. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envying, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, that is God's expectation of His child's appetite for the Word of God. Now, is that the kind of appetite we have for the Word of God? We have an appetite for TV. We have an appetite for the newspaper. We have an appetite for the ball game. We have an appetite for the news. We have an appetite for this. We have an appetite for that. But how is our appetite for the Word of God? I can never be and do what God expects of me to be and do if I don't have an appetite for the Word of God. And I know that's not just a public appetite, but it's a private appetite as well. Personal devotions and getting into the Word of God. Before our appetite is going to be what it ought to be, we're going to have to do what he said there in verse 1. Therefore lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and evil speaking. You've got to lay some things aside if you're going to increase your appetite for the Word of God. But the Word of God and the appetite for it is as strong as the appetite and desire of a newborn babe for the milk of its mother. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. And that's how we need, or that's how our appetite should be, that strength. A second thing concerning the obedience to the Word, and that is not only the appetite for it, but secondly, application of it. We have glutted ourselves in America when it comes, and this is going to seem contradictory to what I just got through saying, when it comes to the Word of God in this respect and in this sense, is that we hear it and we take it in, but we never live it out. We learn it. So if somebody says something in this respect, this area or that area, we can communicate and talk with them about it and use the terminologies of the Word of God and so forth. But on the other end, how much of it are we living? How much of the Word of God do we have an appetite for? And secondly, how much are we applying to our lives when it comes into our text verse in 1 John 2:6? If we say that we know Him and abide in Him, then we ought also to walk as He walked. How much of the Word of God am I applying to my life? And again in John 8:31, Jesus said that if you are my disciples indeed, you'll continue in my Word. The Word of God is key in being and doing all that God expects of us. Through the application of it, it produces maturity. We're confronted in 1 Corinthians 3:1-4 with the immaturity of those believers there at Corinth. Paul said, I couldn't talk to you as to spiritual adult, but I had to speak to you as babes in Christ. Had to give you the milk rather than the meat. Why? Because they were failing to mature as children of God. Hebrews 5:11-3, you have the same thing. He said, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't speak to you because you're dull of hearing. I couldn't give you the meat because you couldn't receive it. Why? Because you weren't exercising yourselves in the Word of God. You weren't applying what you were hearing and taking in. 2 Peter 3:8 exhorts us to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15:14 again is another exhortation of application. So there are two things when it comes to obedience to His Word. First of all, our appetite for it, and secondly, the application of it. Personal application of the Word of God. But thirdly, not only surrendering our will to His will, secondly, obedience to His Word, and thirdly, involvement in His work. A lot of people profess to know Jesus Christ. They profess to have surrendered themselves to His will, and they profess themselves to be obedient to His Word. But they never get involved in His work. What did Jesus say there in Luke 9:23? Follow me. Let him deny himself. If any man command me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and sit down, and wait on the rapture. No, he said, follow me. God expects of us to follow him. Not follow the preacher. Not follow the teacher. Not follow the evangelist. Not follow the missionary. But follow Jesus Christ himself. Numbers of people can follow a pastor. As long as the pastor lays it out, 1, 2, 3, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, and so forth. Few, and I mean literally few, know how to follow Jesus Christ. Follow a man? Yes. Follow Christ? But I don't know how. I'm telling you how. First of all, learn what it is he expects out of you. Secondly, surrender your will to his will. Thirdly, become obedient to his word. And in the last place, become involved in his work. What is he doing? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We need his leadership. Peter responded in John chapter 21. You know, Jesus said, come follow me. Peter looked around and he said, well, how about this disciple? Jesus said, now Peter, that's not relevant to what I just told you to do. You, Peter, you come follow me. And I'll take care of this other disciple. I'll take care of that disciple. I'll take care of this disciple. I'll take care of this congregation. And I'll take care of this issue and so forth and so on if I learn to follow Jesus. You say, but that's what he expects out of those he calls into the pastorate or into a teaching position or into a missionary work or whatever. No. That's what he requires and expects of each one of his children. You can't lose yourself in the crowd. You can't lose yourself. You can't put yourself in the corporate body of Christ and get lost. God knows your name. He saved you on a personal basis. He has personal expectations of your life. You can't get lost in the crowd. What you need to do and what I need to do as a child of God is learn how to follow Jesus. I need to learn how to follow his leadership. And I need to learn how to become involved in his labor. Getting involved in the work of God. Every child of God, God expects this of every child of God, every one of his people. And it's simple. Surrender your will to his will, obedience to the word of God, get involved in the work. Now I can say it, and remember it, and it's simple, but it's very difficult. When it comes to the point of me giving up my will, even to God, it becomes very difficult. When it comes to the point of obeying God's word, when God's word tells me to do something I don't necessarily want to do, that I'm afraid to even do, afraid to set about to try to do. And to get involved in God's work is even worse. Because sometimes it entails things that we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do, we don't know how to handle it. But it's necessary, and here's my premise, if I'm going to be and do everything that God expects me to be and do, I'm going to have to do these things. And there's no way to eliminate them, there's no way to bypass them, or I'll not be pleasing to my God. I have to learn these things. Now go back with me, if you will, just in closing to 2nd chapter. And again, these are familiar verses. Man, you probably already got them memorized. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12,
Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have, as a child of God, a personal salvation that you're responsible to God for. And God expects us to work out our own salvation. For it is God, with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is active in my life. And in the process of learning to follow Him and learning to please Him and learning to fulfill the expectations that He has upon my life, I need to do these things. Now, some aren't willing to do them, and I understand that. But if I want to be pleasing to my God and be and do everything He expects of me, then I have to do this. And He cooperates with that. The divine human cooperative. He is the one that is active, for it is God who works in you, both to want to and to do His good pleasure. As a child of God, and then back to chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be and do everything that God expects me to be and to do, because His expectations are compatible with His enablements. What He expects, He empowers us to fulfill. You can't be everything I expect you to be. I can't be everything that you expect me to be. But that doesn't apply to our relationship with God. Because He never has an expectation that is unreasonable, that's an extreme. All His expectations can become realities if we appropriate that which He has provided for us to appropriate and set about to become obedient to Him. There's no justification for disobedient Christians. None. There's no justification for idle Christians. None. There's no justification for Christians who have a weak spiritual appetite or scriptural appetite. None. Why? Because God empowers. If that were not so, then none of the aforementioned should be expected. Again, our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. We thank You for saving us and enabling us, for filling us with the Holy Spirit, that we might be able to do those things that You expect of us, that please You. So help us, Heavenly Father, we're needing You. Have Your will in me now, in Jesus' name.